hearts. Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads. Where bandits are catacombs and giant doors. Protect the chest and store some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's horse. A grand theft of Elder Scrolls. Simon's quest with Toe and Earl. Rocket shoes to Everclue. Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash your crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes,
y'all. Yes, y'all. Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. You can also find us over on Spotify. Spin it up. You can also go to your podcast provider, whoever that may be. Look for Control Issues, download it, subscribe to it, rate it, review it. Head on over to twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. And head on over to the Blue Sky. Control Issues Pod is the handle, similar to the Gmail, which is controlissuespod@gmail.com. AMC, how you living?
Living well, A-Dub. Yeah, just busy, another busy week of work, just... Now we got a new person, but now I'm training a new person, so it's juggling between getting my shit done while helping them learn how to do stuff so they can also do what they need to do. And so it results in me working late nights, and it sucks. So yeah, I didn't get a ton of gaming in this week. I did get to watch some basketball. That was good. Watch some not UFC, some wrestling, not WWE. I watch AEW. Watch some wrestling. Caught up on there's a pay-per-view event for AEW the other week, and this week's Dynamite, which is their flagship show, was the fallout of that. And they're telling some interesting stories. They have this main villain. His name was Jon Moxley, and for a year he was the champion of AEW, and you would have these matches that are kind of categorized as House of Torture style matches, which I don't really know. I think it's something from New Japan. But there is this faction, and they would, I guess, always interfere in the matches. And so the match style ended up getting termed House of Torture. And so with Jon Moxley, his thing as champion, he was a heel champion. He had this group with him called the Death Riders. And so they would come and interfere in all his matches, and they would help him win, and it went for a year. And usually usually the champion is the main event. So for last year, 2024, people were complaining about a lot of the AEW pay-per-views because they would always end on this sour note because Moxley would always win, and he always won by cheating. And so there's this feeling of like, you know, they create all this heat for the heels, and he is basically the crowd having a negative reaction to them. So they build all this heat, so he cheats, and the crowd reacts very negatively. But the problem is, if the good guys keep losing to the bad guy cheating, then eventually it starts making the good guys look inept because they can't figure out how to overcome this strategy. And so because of that, like, all the sour feelings after every pay-per-view event of him winning by the same way, it made people a little upset with the creative for AEW. But anyways, now we smash cut. We come to this year. He loses at the big event, All In. And so now he's no longer champion, Jon Moxley. His character, he had a death match, and he ended up like quitting in the match. He had to quit, and that's how he lost the belt. And so now his character has this thing where he's actually been losing multiple matches in a row to submission, where he like now has like a low threshold for pain. He went for a year of just being this like dominant champion to now it's like these mid-carders, like if they get him in like a heel lock, like the crowd starts like it gets into it, because usually if you have a big like a big bad heel, when they go up against like a lower mid-card person, like there's no chance of them winning. And so there's a little it's a little less interesting to watch the matches because you kind of can already know the outcome. But because he has this now, this change where he is susceptible to tapping out because something happened with that match where he lost his belt, It creates like a lot of interest whenever he has a match because it's like, oh, is this bum gonna tap him out like this time? And it just adds like a whole little a new wrinkle and a new dynamic to his character where he's still a heel, but he's like a now a cowardly heel in a way where the people are interested in him. And it's the smart thing of wrestling. It's a lot of times like when they want to build up a good guy, they make him a bad guy, and people initially root against them, but then within their heelish tendencies, it always tends to win people over to the point then where then the people start cheering for the heel, and then that's when they turn them face. And when you have a face, that's always a good thing for wrestling companies because that faces tend to sell the most merchandise. So you want a face that's really over, and a way to build a face is by making him a bad guy first. And so it seems like with this run that Moxley's on of him tapping out easily to submissions, it's starting to win over the crowd. And I could see maybe like a couple months from now him being like a face that's really over in a company. So I've been really enjoying this character turn for Moxley. Outside of that, not much else going on. I haven't been able to watch much anime, as I mentioned, just working through my lunch breaks and shit. So we decorated our Christmas tree. That was awesome. Got it last week. Went with this little fat tree. As we were going through, there were a lot of ones that had like that, they weren't full. So you're kind of like, all right, don't like that. Like, don't like this one. Don't like that one. Then we see this one in the corner, and it's just sitting there in all its glory. Able to get it. We picked it up, bought it, brought it home, set it up, and now we just got to the ornaments and shit after like a week of having it just sit there with lights on it. So yeah, Christmas is in the house officially. The kids are loving it. They're excited. They got their wish lists ready, and yeah, it'll be fun. How about yourself, A-Dub? How has your week been?
Week is not too bad. We're winding down, getting ready for winter break because the whole town basically, not the whole town, but the industry basically shuts down for like that 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks at the end of the year, going into the new year. So, just tidying up, making sure everybody gets paid, all that kind of stuff. They let me know what my bonus was, and I'm very excited about that. So, look for some new stuff, some new experiences coming to you from the A-Dub amusement park is what we're calling it these days. And yeah, man, watching movies, I saw The Running Man with my brother. I saw Rental Family, which I highly recommend. I think that movie definitely deserves an award of some sort because Brendan Fraser, he's 2 for 2. Like, Rental Family is awesome. I don't want to talk about it too much, but it's like a love letter to Japan, but then it's also just so much more from this weird perspective of the like rental family, rental person industry that's apparently out there. Because there's in Japan certain things are stigmatized or just not accepted in society like they are in other parts of the world. So they deal with the feelings that they always wish they had, or the experiences they always wish that they could look back on in other more creative ways, such as hiring people to play these roles so they can feel like, they went through it. And yeah, man, it's a fantastic film. Highly recommend it. AMC definitely should throw that on the list. I've been watching anime, of course, My Hero Academia, just counting down to the final episode, and oh man, we're so close to the end. It's so much has happened, finally caught up to the things that I've heard about. I'm at the point where they're wrapping up the story. I'm not going to say anything in order I'm not going to say anything in order to preserve the sanctity of other people's
Yes,
virgin
please,
ears.
please don't, because I definitely I haven't been able to start it, so I'm looking forward to getting to it.
What I will say is that it's awesome, and that's it. So,
Yes.
My Hero Academia, hands down, my favorite anime of all time. Don't get me wrong, still gotta respect the classics like Scride, Shamplew, Trigun, Bebop, again, Big O, Full Metal Alchemist,
So
Bleach, and
many
all
good.
that.
So many
Well,
good.
I'll give One Piece its credit, even though I'm not into it, but I'll give it another shot. Anime is for everyone. Anime is for all. So you should indulge. What else have I been watching? I saw Megan 2.0 on Peacock. Wasn't really a fan. It wasn't a horror movie. like the original was. So that kind of was a jarring experience. It was almost like a buddy film, and I didn't sign up for
Yes,
that.
and now it's just all about Megan. It's less about her
Exactly.
being there.
Except, and like not even about her like doing the Megan thing, which is just fucking people up, but like
TikTok dancing.
TikTok dancing, being a homie, being trendy. Like, get out of here with that. You better come with it with 3.0. Yeah, watch that. I felt like I watched it. Oh, Kevin Hart has a new special on Netflix that I thought was outstanding. He seems to be back in fighting shape. In prime form, so it's good to see him just firing on all cylinders like that. Just amazingly hilarious. Recommend you check it out. In other news, though, I made some purchases. Your boy heard about the bonus, so I started pulling the trigger on some stuff that I've been thinking about for a while. One of the big ones that I got and I tested out yesterday was that I got a wireless 8-bit DOE like SNES controller from my SNES Classic. The whole reason that this came up was because the cords on the controller for the SNES Classic are too short for my living room. Like I have to sit either very close to the TV or I have to have the console like extended out further than the entertainment center. And it just wasn't working. I wasn't using the SNES at all. It was just gathering dust. At one point, I unplugged it and just put it in the drawer with that little glint in my eye of maybe one day. Well, that day was yesterday because I got the receiver, then I got the controller. The controller is dope. Let me tell you this, dude. It's a Super Nintendo controller, but it also has two analog sticks as well as L2 and R2 buttons. So it's like it has that profile, but it's. You can use it to play anything, not particularly well, given that it's flat and uncomfortable. However, the sticks are awesome. I think they're like Hall Effect sticks, so shouldn't be getting any drift on those. And it's just that little receiver. You plug it into whatever device you're gaming on. I already have them paired, so I could even start playing Steam games on something that still has a USB-C port, or if I get a converter. To convert, I mean, a USB-A port or B, whatever. The one that's not small, the one that you put it in two times and you get it wrong, and then you put it in the third time and you get it right. So I got that going, played a little Secret of Mana, just refreshing myself on the controls and where I am in the story. It just felt great keeping that side eye on Super Metroid. I'm thinking about firing that up, and it's just nice to be able. Laying on the couch, just chilling, and I could just pull out this little wireless controller and get my Super Nintendo on whenever I feel like it. So I'm glad I reincorporated that back into my overall daily doings. And then I also made another purchase. I found this company, and I forgot their name. I'm going to look for it while I'm talking. But basically, I was. Whenever I'm on the internet, people are like, oh, what controller should I get? My controllers keep breaking. How do you guys deal with stick drift? And I've always recommended just get a DualSense Edge. You can buy replaceable sticks and keep doing that. And people always kept chiming up. It's like, why would you do that when you can buy Hall Effect sticks? And basically it's never good enough. Somebody's always got the next level answers. But that rattled around in the back of my brain for a while. So I decided as my sticks were beginning to drift again, like I had some drift in my right stick. That was the first time that happened in a very long time. So I replaced that and having a good time. And then suddenly I started getting drift in my left stick. So I replaced that. And I'm like, all right, I got to get some more sticks. Of course, I go to the Sony site thinking everything's good. Turns out, they recommend that you go buy from their partners because they're not letting transactions go through. So I go online, of course, Amazon, all these other partners and third-party sellers have the sticks listed for twice their MSRP. And I was like, all right, it's time to look for a little more permanent of a solution. So I was bobbing around on the internet and I found this company that makes plug and play DualSense Edge stick modules that they're not Hall Effect. It's something called TMR. And I haven't done my research to figure out what that is, but they say it's supposed to give you reliability and precision more so than standard analog sticks. So I took a chance and I ordered a couple of them. So I'm very excited for when they arrive, which should be sometime, I want to say Tuesday. You know, you pay for overnight shipping on a Friday, you don't get them until 4 days later. But it's called Modded Zone. And yeah, I'm hoping it's as simple as just putting the sticks in and never having to worry about sticks ever again. Because, you know, that's the last little point of friction when it comes to the gaming experience. It's like everything's set up, everything's hooked up to the television. I got the good headphones, I got the DualSense Edge with the back buttons, but just keep getting drift on those controllers. And if you don't have any sticks on standby, you're just either going to be dealing with it or you're going to be, you know, altering the kind of games that you're playing, you know, stuff you can use the D-pad with. So if I can solve this issue once and for good, or at least for a more long-term period of time, then I feel like I will truly achieve nirvana.
Yeah, it's
But
truly
hey,
like
it's
the it's true like sticking with it's like truly the worst like part of I would say like if what was it the that one generation the 360 PlayStation 3 generation with the yellow light and then the red ring and but this one it's easy and then what was it the PS4 generation the I would say that one it was the sticks the whatever it was that the rubber rubbing off I don't know what the fuck that was all about. But this generation, it's a nightmare with these controllers. So I have one controller, PS5 controller, that it's the battery doesn't it doesn't hold a charge now over an hour, like no matter what. So that one, yeah, and it's not even an hour, it's like maybe 40 minutes. So yeah, for Christmas, we basically just
God
asked for two
damn,
new,
that
yeah, we asked
sucks, man.
for two new controllers because so we have that one that doesn't hold a battery, doesn't hold a battery life, and then the other one, it just the stick drift is just absolutely awful. So we barely use that one, and then obviously I have the now what's interesting is the Nintendo Switch, obviously the Joy-Con that went to shit like with the stick drift, but I bought the Nintendo Pro Controller pretty much around the time I bought the Switch because we needed a second controller, and it has not gotten stick drift at all to the point, and it's forwards compatible, so I'm using it now also on the Switch too. So it's pretty
Very
insane.
nice.
But in general, like the stock controllers that they have been handing out have just not been up to par at all. Like it's I hope they figure this out. So far, the I've been using the Nintendo Switch 2 Joy-Cons, haven't given me any issues. I haven't seen anybody complaining about them as of yet. So hopefully whatever switching to that magnet system might be what solved their problem with the stick drift. We shall see. But yeah, this the last generation, dude, they fucking dropped the ball when it came to the controllers. As much as I enjoy what is it the haptics and everything about the DualSense and then enjoying like the HD rumble of the Switch, but yeah, those base controllers are on some bullshit. But that's enough about that, A-Dub. Let's talk about what games have you been playing.
Oh man, what have I been playing? Well, it's gonna be a little weird because it's sometimes you just get an itch, you get a hankering for something different. So, you know, I was playing Stalker 2 for a good while, pushing the story forward, trying to get it to that logical conclusion, see those credits, and like I just don't have a clue what's going on now, and the entire world map is you'll just run into these groups of Monolithians, and they are tough as shit to take down, especially now I'm dealing with the ones that have exoskeletons on. So it's a bitch and a half. My weapons are always broken. My ammo is being consumed considerably. Like I'm going into situations and just getting insta-killed because I'm not entirely sure the best direction to approach stuff from. Like I tried to go to a town and the sniper just headshots me every time, every single time. And I just needed a break from the just soul-crushing madness of that stupendous game. So what I did was I fired up Slay the Spire AMC, and I have been madly addicted to it. You know, I've heard you talking about it, but you said you haven't played it. So that it must mean that that game is good.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
always looking for a good deck building game, especially after my love of Midnight Suns. And then also on top of that, roguelite. So Slay the Spire has just always been on my radar, but keep going.
No, yeah, Slay the Spire, and I think it was PS Plus. I got a hold of it. It's been sitting in the library for a while. And I fired it up a while back, if you guys have been listening long enough. And I was into it quite a bit. Then, of course, this whole glut of quality releases kept coming out throughout the year. So I got pulled away for several months. But now I gotten back in the Slay the Spire playing as the Ironclad. And it is just engrossingly fun. I don't know. It's very unassuming with its visuals and everything, but when you've played it for a good number of hours, eventually you start seeing the action as it's being depicted by the cards and by the text, because like you can read, you get a little indicator of what the enemies are going to do every turn, so you can plan your moves like that. And then as you're executing your moves and pulling things off, like the cards themselves are filling in that storytelling with the exact moves that are happening. So like you're fighting a dude and he does this buff where after every one of his turns he gets extra strength. So it's and then he does another buff where it's like if you use a skill card, he'll get stronger. So it's like, all right, we're fighting this dude. We have one turn where we can use as many skill cards as we want. And after that, if we do that, we're just gonna make him stronger. So it's like, all right, let me buff my strength. So let me play flex. Let me flex on him real quick. Let me hit this potion. Let me build up my defense and get some metallicize going on. So after every turn, I get a little defense. Let's put a little plate armor on so I have a little buffer that's gonna bolster my defense every turn. And then once the battle gets going, it's like, all right, slash, slash, clash. You're doing all the moves. You're balancing what you're doing with the limited number of action points you have every turn. And as you're doing it, it's just like, okay, pulling out the sword, hit him with the uppercut, make him weak, make him vulnerable for a turn, hit him with the bludgeon, just completely hit him with the big damage, rupture his whole shit, knock him into a different mode. It's fantastic. I highly recommend Slay the Spire, so much so because I guess I beat it. I made it all the way to the end. I saw the credits with the Ironclad. By then, I already had the second character unlocked, and I'm starting to play as the Silent, which is more of a rogue character. So it's a lot of daggers, a lot of knife moves, eviscerating, dodge rolling. What is it? A dash where you get big defense, but you also make an offensive damage. And it's one thing to have a deck building roguelike game. It's another thing to have classes and for those classes to then have their own decks. It's like I'm almost to the point where I'm able to beat the game with the Silent. I've already unlocked the last two characters as well. And I gotta tell you, man, I'm more than likely gonna figure out how to complete the game with each of the characters. It's outstanding. It's all I think about. I'm just seeing the action playing in my mind. I'm thinking about all the relics and all the different kinds of combinations that I can get that might, spell victory. And it's I just love the progression. Like at the beginning of the game, you have probably about, 15 or so cards, but after every fight, you get a new card. You could stop at a merchant. You could buy more cards. You get these random events on the branching pathways that you can choose from to navigate that have like enemies, camps, merchants, and random events represented as question marks. And you get those, and you get the little text with the choices so that you could go down different paths and make different decisions. Like, oh yeah, if you let me touch your face, I'll give you a mask, something like that. Oh man, there's all kinds of weird little encounters and weird people, and eventually you get used to it and you figure out the kind of build that you want to navigate in order to succeed. So I'm loving the process of really mastering this game and what it's all about. In addition to that, I've been playing a lot of Ball Pit because I'm dangerously close to the platinum. What I have left, I have to beat every level with every character, and then I have to fill out the encyclopedia, which is, combining all the balls, getting all the different balls, which I've finished. And then you have to get all the different items, which I'm almost done with. Some of them I haven't seen before, and I think there's one more that I have to craft with existing items. And once I get that, platinum will be locked up. I'll be right in time for the 2026 roadmap of free content updates, and I'm pumped about that. I also decided to go back to Overland for a second. Overland is kind of an isometric, tactical turn-based survival game where you're trying to make it across the country alive through an alien invasion. Like, the aliens are, creatures. I wouldn't say they're like intelligent, trying to communicate or enslave people. They're just creatures that crash landed here, have rapidly reproduced, and they live underground, only coming up when they hear a noise to, consume people and feed. So you're trying to manage that. It's very tight. It reminds me a lot of Flame in the Flood, where it's like, you have your options and there's mechanics and interactions and things, but it's very limited. So you have to make really educated decisions and decide, like, okay, do I bring a flashlight or do I bring a metal pipe? Do I get rid of this med kit so that I can get a backpack and I can have two items on me? Or, do I get these tools so if the car takes damage, I can repair that instead of having to then go on foot until we find another car and then have to get gas to put inside of it? So it's a lot going on. I recruited a dog. He found a hat in a trash can and equipped it. So, it's awesome. It's cute, but it's serious. It's a fun game. I haven't made it back to where I left off when I last played it, but it's awesome. I was pleasantly surprised to see that it had a PS5 version, 4K 60. So I think, mentioned that earlier. Just thought I'd mention it again there. But yeah, Overland's dope. Playing Overwatch 2 with my brother, trying to get AMC in there when he's got some time. Just getting ready for the next season when Vendetta eventually gets added to the game. Had a blast with her during the free week. She is absolutely insane. It's going to be very interesting to see how the developer, balances and tweaks her over time. But right now, it's awesome to just have a melee hero like that who's quick but also just powerful and devastating. Like, in the right hands, she is going to be absolutely terrifying. But AMC, what have you been playing?
So as I mentioned, a lot of work, so not a ton of playing, but did get some sessions in. Marissa and I, we got some Split Fiction in during the week. We had a pretty so I said the game is all about the sequences. This is what sells you on Split Fiction. In this game, it's broken up between the two main characters, which are authors, and basically each sequence, at least as of right now, is a different book that either book that they had written or a concept that they had come up with for books that hadn't come out yet, or things that they wrote as kids, as I'm about to explain. And so in this one, we go into a sequence and we start out and we're just these pigs in like fantasy, so like kind of I would say like fantasy times, like medieval kind of setting. And we each have our own special abilities. We're super pigs, but not like in the we don't have capes and shit, but we have abilities. And Marissa's her pig, she could stretch up and then use that then as she unstretched to catapult herself into the air. So it was kind of like a jump. And then for my character, I could fart rainbow dust and it would propel me forward. So I could like kind of fly for a short period of time. And through that, we make our way through the level and we're trying to find these apples because we have to find the apples within the level, and then we have to bring it to, I don't know, this, and we never actually get to see the figure, but we bring the apple to the figure who like kind of talks, and then it gives us access to another part of the stage. And so we first start out and we're finding our own apples to bring, and then as it progresses, then what you love about Split Fiction and the co-op nature of it. And then we're working in tandem to help each other find our apples. It's like one of those things where only I can use my fart propulsion to launch me across these platforms to then drop this bridge so then Naomi can cross. Oh, not Naomi, so Marissa can cross. And then same thing, Marissa had to use her stretching ability to, I guess, scale up in order to make it to a certain area, which then gave me access. And so through that, yeah, we were able to get to the end of the stage and beat that area. And it was just fun. And by the end of it, then we become hot dogs. We're making ourselves into hot dogs. Like, we got to cook ourselves and stuff. And ultimately, that entire sequence becomes a metaphor that one of the authors had written about how they learned about how food gets made. And so
Interesting.
it was really interesting. It was like gnarly, it was fun, it was trippy, and it was just one sequence of the game, and it was very fun. Like, so I'm hoping that there's just more things like that within it, because I heard so many good things about Split Fiction. Not much else to say there. Played some Zelda. As you mentioned, you got a controller. I also got a new controller. I got a new Switch controller. We had the Joy-Cons, which we have to play as one controller, because one of them just doesn't work on its own. And then we have the Switch Pro controller that we've had since we bought the original Switch. And so we wanted a third one. And so I was looking, because I was initially thinking about buying another Pro controller for the Switch, but a part of me was like, let me look at these third-party controllers. I've listened to a couple of podcasts that talk about third-party controllers, and they had mentioned also 8-Bit Do. I think another one was GameSir is a popular one. But I just did my own research, and I came across, like, on a couple of the recommendations, the Easy SMX, I think it was S10, kept coming up as the best overall recommendation. Like, there'd be these other controllers that they would say, like, oh, it does this, or if you like this, it does this. But then the issue would be like, but it doesn't have amiibo support, or this controller can't wake up a Switch, or this controller doesn't have HD rumble support. So you're kind of like making all these concessions if you want to use the other controllers to get kind of a certain feel. But then this controller, the easiest SMX, kept coming up as the best overall controller. It had all those features. Also on top of it had like back buttons, which I haven't used, but hey, maybe I'll try it out. And it also has a circular D-pad, which I'm looking at the box. It's apparently it's swappable, so I could take off that circular part of the D-pad. But I'm actually enjoying it. It's like a flat D-pad. So the D-pad you can see is underneath it, but then there's this flat, like, circular thing on top of it, and it feels better, because I've played a couple games with D-pad, especially it's usually like the 2D side-scrolling ones. I tend to prefer a D-pad with those, but I did notice that it does kind of feel uncomfortable with my thumbs after a while. And this circular D-pad, there's a lot more comfort to it, so I can see the appeal of it, and I still have the same amount of control, especially for diagonal presses. And so I'll keep playing with that. If I do like it, I'm probably gonna get a second one, because it's getting everything I want, and it's cheaper than the first party Nintendo Pro controller. So enjoying that, enjoying gaming, but that's all I got there, A-Dub. Let's take a break and we will come back with our first topic of the week.
Hot topic of the
Of the
week.
week. All right, we're back. A-Dub, you want to break us off with that first topic of the week?
Topic of the week.
We.
Maybe not entirely gaming related. We'll see once we get into the details. Big topic, big acquisition news. No, it's not Microsoft redoubling their efforts. No, this is a new player. This is Netflix, and they just announced their deal to acquire Warner Brothers for $82.7 billion.
Billion,
Dollars,
billion,
dollars,
billion.
dollars. Yeah, reporting from IGN, Tom Phillips writes, Netflix has confirmed it has entered into Jesus. Why is that a tough sentence? Netflix has confirmed it has entered into a definitive agreement to buy Warner Brothers, including its film and television studios, HBO, and HBO Max, in a deal worth $82.7 billion. In a statement, Netflix said the buyout would be completed in Q3 2026. Post-acquisition, the streamer said that it still expected Warner Brothers movies to continue being released in theaters. Contrary to popular beliefs, based on actual things, that the executives and Netflix have actually said about movies in theaters. Celebrating its momentous acquisition of Warner Brothers' vast content vault, Netflix said the deal would bring its global reach and streaming capabilities to a century of movies and TV franchises, as well as the studio's biggest ongoing franchises. These notably include the DC Universe, which is now being overseen by James Gunn, and the Game of Thrones franchise, which now has an expanded slate of spin-offs, Harry Potter, which will soon be rebooted via an ambitious new TV series. Let me see, let me read on, because most of this is about television and film, but there was a note here, if I can
Release
find
the
it.
system.
We'll get into that part. But there was a note here. Tom Phillips notes that as yet, no specific mention has been made of Warner Brothers video games. The company owns Mortal Kombat developer NetherRealm, Batman Arkham maker Rocksteady, and Hogwarts Legacy studio Avalanche. Next year, Warner Brothers is set to release Traveler's Tales: Lego Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight, while Rocksteady is believed to be back making a new Arkham title. As for Avalanche, following the breakout success of Hogwarts Legacy, a sequel now seems all but assured. So AMC, yeah, you know how it happens in this industry. You actually endured an acquisition yourself. How do you feel about this? What do you think this means for gaming? Should we be worried?
I mean, Netflix doesn't have the greatest track record with sticking to whatever they have. Like when it comes to gaming, I know they were pretty ambitious initially with like, oh, we're gonna have like this whole gaming thing going on. Like they were producing games, they had games added onto Netflix, but I never felt like they really rolled it out properly. But one, it's like it's very mobile centric, so that's not a great sign if you're a console gamer. Yeah, very mobile centric. I've actually played a couple, not I've, I haven't played, but I've utilized their gaming services in that they had one, they have a Peppa Pig game. So if you have your Netflix account, basically you click on it and it just takes you to the Apple App Store and you run the app through that and it logs in your Netflix credentials to the game, and then you have access to the game. So it's not even like you're loading up Netflix and playing the game. Like you just have a separate thing, and it just uses your Netflix login. But it's all right because Naomi loves the Peppa Pig mobile game, so I'm not complaining about having that access. I know they whoever is curating it does seem to have a good eye for games because I think Into the Breach is still one of the games that you have access to through
On Netflix? Oh.
Through Netflix.
Yeah.
There's some other, I think Hades was on there. There are actually a lot of good games that you have access to the mobile versions of the games. So whoever is curating it seems to know what they're doing. But as far as Netflix producing their own games, I haven't really heard a ton of great things. I think there's like a Stranger Things game, but I never really heard much about that one. And then you like especially on the Netflix app, it's a lot of dating games. So yeah, I don't know who they're targeting there. Maybe like young teenagers. I don't know, whatever. But acquiring WB that steps them up to another echelon. So it'll be interesting to see if they how they treat this. If they hold on to it, if they sell off those parts. It for me personally. I'm more interested in AEW because AEW right now, they're exclusive with WB as far as they have a streaming deal where AEW is streamed on HBO Max, and now and they just actually started running pay-per-views for AEW through HBO Max. And so now if Netflix owns HBO Max, which is a separate streaming service. It'll be interesting to see how they bundle that together. And that seems to be the move as of late. Like, not necessarily acquiring, but Disney, they have ESPN, they have Hulu, and they have Disney Plus. And so there's all types of like packages that they run out. Like, oh, you buy these three, you're actually getting it for the price of like one and a half or one, and yada. And so we'll see if Netflix tries to run those bundles out and run a bundle with HBO Max. But it's weird. Like I think HBO Max has like a bundle with Apple. So like they're all like kind of playing together. Like and given the fact that I think they've realized that consumers are just like they're getting one, canceling that, getting the other because it's there's too many and it becomes costly after a while. So running the bundles is a way for to keep consumers on like the actual services instead of jumping between the different services based on whatever they want to watch. But as far as gaming, I don't really don't know what this means. Hopefully I so the what we were discussing in pre-show and I was just joking about earlier, when I was looking up different stories, I came across like one story that was saying that gamers are already petitioning for Netflix to free up the Nemesis system for other developers to use since it's been locked behind the WB patent. So we shall see. Either Netflix will see the that there's an interest for this and they'll push one of the studios to release a game with it, or they will free it up in a good faith gesture. Now, they're a publicly traded company, so I'm not really sure how consumer friendly they will be as opposed to wanting to please the investors, but we shall see. A-Dub, how'd you feel when you heard about this news about the acquisition?
Well, obviously a little shaky, whenever these media conglomerates merge or consume one another, that usually means stuff just disappears. I forget, I think it was when Warner Brothers got HBO, like there was something going on with Cartoon Network where it just disappeared for no reason. But I mean, I guess it's back. I guess its stuff is back. Maybe I'm wrong. I haven't really looked into it. I know I'm not really doing my work here, but with those are the kind of wrinkles and things that can be expected with these kind of acquisitions. So hopefully nothing else of note is on the line here. Once everything starts to settle into place, let's assume that the gaming aspect is included with the deal. Let's assume that Netflix is taking that, then that can be very much up in the air. I mean, they haven't shown themselves to be the greatest stewards of, a gaming division, but maybe having a proper gaming division with proper studios will give them the resources and the expertise and experience just already built in that they would need in order to make those ambitions more of a reality. I mean, to be fair, they do have Red Dead Redemption on Netflix and mobile, so something's happening in there. As you said, Into the Breach was something else that they had. So, like you said, someone's got an eye, and Netflix seems to be trying to make that happen. This is a very good opportunity for them to get some very, very strong goodwill with not only the gaming community, but the entire gaming industry. If, let's say they do assume ownership of the patent for the Nemesis system, maybe they could just let that lapse, or just give people the green light to go ahead and use it, like, and usher in a whole new generation, or maybe even a genre to a lesser extent of games. And you go down in history for that kind of stuff. So I don't know if somebody's got their eye on creating a legacy more so than just creating generational wealth. They might want to pull the trigger on a pretty crazy idea. And it could go either way. I'm not particularly excited considering it seems like it's geared toward having an AI trove of content and IP in order to feed it, in order to spit out a whole bunch of junk. So I don't know about all that. That's not what I want from any company to, just start. Yeah, well, whatever. See what the forms are. Like, don't roguelike my shows and my IPs that I like. Like, I like roguelikes the way they are. They spit out the randomized junk that I try to make sense of. You're supposed to be spitting out the curated, high production value junk that I consume on a regular basis. So you're doing a little better with that. I'm trying to finish watching The New Yorker at 100. It's a documentary about The New Yorker magazine, and it's incredibly informative, very well done. And I'm enjoying that quite a bit. So Netflix, do that, like that kind of stuff. It's awesome. Kevin Hart specials all day. Give him all your money. Let him keep packing them seats. So, AMC, how do you feel about potential AI ambitions and what that could mean for some of your most beloved characters.
Yeah, I have no idea what the fuck that's all about, but I will say this, like when when I was looking up stories, almost every other story is about AI. It's the new boogeyman, and we have no idea what any of it means, but it clearly seems like there is a directive at a lot of the companies. I mean, even at my company, we're starting to switch to a new system. And they're like, hey, do you know how AI could help further help your job? And
Jesus.
everybody just hears that as like, oh, you want AI to replace me eventually, or like cut down on the staff so that like one person can do the job and the computer does the rest. But yeah, like it seems like there's a directive at every company to look into AI and see how it can revolutionize the process. And with gamers, obviously, there's a worry there. And so yeah, every other article is either a company saying like, yeah, we're not having it. I think I saw one where Steam was like, there's like, oh, like some developers or publishers are asking Steam to remove their AI like brand, like not branding, but like you basically have to divulge if your
Disclosure.
game, yeah, disclosure. If your game uses AI, it has to be disclosed.
It was
And
Tim Sweeney calling that into question. Like, it doesn't help anybody.
yeah, so yeah, they're leaving that up there. And then like other companies saying like, yeah, we might use it, but we're not going to use it in the way you think we're going to use it. Ultimately, it seems like eventually AI is going to be a part of the process, and now it's just going to be a point of setting the boundaries of like what is AI slop versus what might help to at least, I guess, make things more efficient when it comes to game development. There's been a lot of discussion about like games are more expensive and taking longer to get developed, and so I'm sure there are some things that AI can do to help move things along. But yeah, when it comes to from what you're describing, it sounds like that's more like algorithm AI, where it's like, what are the trends? And let's make that. And then like once like the trends change, all right, well the algorithm is showing that this is now gaining more traction. Now let's do that. And then it's just like one of those things. And then eventually the algorithm just starts telling people what is trendy, and we've
Yeah,
all lost.
eventually it gets ahead of the trend.
Yeah. Yeah, because then it becomes a predictive model. And then yeah, and then it's telling us what we should be doing rather than letting things naturally play out a certain way. So this is going to be a back and forth that's going to be annoying moving forward. And Netflix is a huge major company. Like if you follow stocks, they're one of the bigger companies. So I wouldn't put them above like just fucking leaning all the way in on this stuff. There's definitely going to be parts of the industry where that is not going to matter. Like it'll be interesting to see. Like I know like China is getting more into the game. It'll be interesting. Like as we were watching one of the China Hero Project games. What's it called? Like God Body,
Godslayer.
God Slayer. And yeah, and as I was watching it, I was like, I wonder how like the people of China feel about AI in general. If there's a region where their consumer base is like, you think about China, their consumer base is big enough, and say they didn't care about AI, then we're just gonna get a ton of AI games coming from that region because like, yeah, there's not like a lot of pushback. And so that was one of those things, like as I was sitting there, I was like, if certain areas, like if certain companies just decide, oh, we don't care and we're gonna push this out, and then uninformed consumers are kind of just like, that's a game and it's cheaper or whatever, then they like people just start buying it, and then like basically we've lost the ball at that point. But that's, I don't know, that's like one of those concerns that I guess we just have to wait and see how things play out. And once it gets out of hand, there'll be a pushback. People push back against loot boxes. We went through that. And then like there's
And
always
now we're
something.
back, baby.
Yeah, we're back, baby, and stronger than ever. Yeah, it's like I feel like gamers, they'll always find a way to push back. Like if there's one thing, like as much as we give gamers shit sometimes with like the concern trolling, they do unify in a way that if it is a worthy cause, I think gamers can come together and at least stand up to that thing. It's just often it's on some bullshit. And so I feel like if AI definitely starts to get out of hand, gamers will speak up, and ultimately they are the consumers, and the industry will have to pay attention to that. So it's just one of the things we just have to let play out, and then we'll be shitting on it if it's terrible. That's all I
Dude,
got for that one. Yeah, what's up?
I always think about like, when is it going to be the day that I'm just playing the greatest game I've ever played in my life? I'm singing its praises online. I'm recommending it to friends. And then you come to find out, oh yeah, it was made with AI. I'm just waiting for that when it's just like, oh, now I can't, or I'm on record being a champion of the game.
Yeah, just fucks me up. Like, well, it's almost like the, yeah, it's like one of those things, like we'll figure out, because it's the idea of like people losing jobs, or the whole creative, like creative side of it. Like if it feels like a computer put it together versus like somebody like thought it out well. And we've seen it, like this is in gaming, but there's been jokes about like in wrestling, because like, you know, they got to crank out these fucking stories. Wrestling's on every week. There's never a break. There's not seasons, really. A season is a year. So there's not really seasons. It's a weekly product. That's why company like cable companies love it, because they know that it's just churning content constantly. And every now and then there's just like just shitty storytelling, and people have joked like, I wonder if they're using AI, because like there's been like rumors like, oh, they've been trying to crank out like AI stories just to like churn out like new stories for the wrestlers to play
Oh,
out, and like
man.
the stories have been like just really bad, and so like people joke about it. But I could see stuff like that happening eventually, where like things just get very generic and like sanitized in a way that like people who complain about wokeness, like they'll be wishing for those days to come back. But that's all I got. You got anything else for that?
I don't have anything else for it, but
All
some
right.
other folks might. We got Troll of the Week, Troll of the
Troll of the
Week,
week.
Troll of the
Troll of the
Week,
week.
Troll of the
Troll of the
Week,
week.
Troll of the Week, 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 Week. We got Troll of the Week. And coming sideways at Netflix acquiring Warner Brothers, First Troll says. And of course, Netflix will use this as a reason to increase its prices, as they always do. Yeah, fully expecting that, 100%.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
Next troll says, this is basically what Microsoft spent on that silly Call of Duty franchise.
Silly.
Next troll says, the death of HBO. Next says, fire James Gunn first, Superman was horrendous. It was all over the place, but it was well made.
I'm not gonna lie. So we Marissa and I, we started it, and she like, yeah, there's a good James Gunn likeness about it, like within the dark humor. But like there is just certain things that are like very eye-rolly for Marissa. And even I was like, man, that like turned really quickly. And we didn't get through it. Marissa was like done. So I have to now watch it on my own. And I had high expectations for it, so I still want to watch it and finish it, because it looked like they had some good things going, but I will say it was far from perfect.
A little too much humanizing, in my opinion. Next troll says, they're trying really hard to simply recreate cable television and overcharge us for it.
Yeah,
And
we're headed there. We're headed there.
after the death of HBO, our last troll brings us home with the death of cinema. I mean, to be fair, I don't know exactly who, but there's a representative of Netflix who was on record saying that just watch it on your screen. It doesn't matter how big the screen is. Just watch it. Watch Lawrence of Arabia on the phone, or like his son watches Lawrence of Arabia on the phone, something of that nature. So I don't know, man. Definitely not a vote of confidence for that kind of oversight on a very healthy, very storied library of content. Like, I don't know. And I don't know why people are so worried about HBO for any particular reason. I mean, that's how are you going to get that kind of content? Like, what do they get swallowed up and just integrated as a part of Netflix for an extra $20 a month or something like that? I don't know, maybe that's the case. I gotta see why people are so deathly afraid of what's gonna happen with HBO. I've seen a lot of people who are very excited for what might become a James Gunn in DC, which is kind of strange. I don't know, man. It's in the end, at least a bunch of stuff is getting under a larger umbrella, I guess, and you don't have to go as far to get it or to any different places. Maybe that's why people are afraid for HBO, because
Yeah,
maybe
that
Netflix shuts it
consolidation.
down, yeah.
Yeah.
Shuts it down, integrates it. Just strange times we live
Yeah.
in.
Well, like a part of it too is, especially with this streaming model, is we're beyond the days of DVDs and shit. So that means
Yeah.
things
You
can just
have to go
go.
to them.
Yeah, and also things can just go away. Like they could just be like, yeah, we're taking Westworld off of HBO Max
Yeah.
for no reason at all. And then it's just not there. And so that is always the worry. It's like this one conglomerate just consumes all this content. They become content king, and then they can do whatever they want with it, which is like they have all so many arms moving that they're not even aware of all of them, and things just disappear, things are mismanaged, yada yada. And so I could see that being the worry, is like there's less curation from that standpoint. And especially with that amount of content, it's as we were discussing earlier, that your executives are relying more on the analytics and the algorithms to just like tell them how to do their job. It's like, oh, a ton of people watch Squid Games, more Squid Games. And so
Yeah.
does that mean like WB is now pumping out Squid Game video games instead of DC games and shit like that? So that is the concern. It's like the how they read the data as opposed to having an actual connection with the consumer. So it is what it is.
Wasn't Squid Game in Fortnite?
Everything's been in Fortnite at this point.
Everything's in
Yeah.
everything.
Yeah, everything is in everything. So yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, there is that argument of there are too many services, but yeah, but then putting them all under one umbrella, is that any better? It is what it is. Maybe I'll just be on Crunchyroll from here on out, and every now and then when there's a fight, I'll go and check it out on Netflix, watch some boxing, who knows, but whatever.
Yeah, I got to see how the monthly adds up and determine what I'm keeping or what I'm not. You know, it's not even that I can't afford it or anything. It's just like, why?
Well,
Got
when you're
a
not
lot of
using
stuff.
it's like, why are you paying for it then? Is the
Yeah.
bigger thing. Like, so.
You know, I try to browse through all of them. I have stuff I watch on a majority of the services. You know, they're gonna get it. They're gonna crack down on the passwords. It's gonna be terrible. It's gonna be terrible. Whatever though.
We're the trolls
Troll
of
of the week.
the week.
Troll of the
Troll of the
week.
week.
Troll of the
Troll of the
week.
week.
Troll of the week.
Week,
Troll
week,
of the
week.
week. Week, 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 week,
Wait, wait,
week,
wait.
week,
All
week.
right. Yeah, as we said, slow news week. So we got an update for PlayStation, A-Dub.
I'll
So
do
it's
it.
by Video Games Chronicles. PlayStation is publishing the first game by J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot Games.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes, a co-op shooter directed by Left 4 Dead's creator. So Bad Robot Games is the video game division of Bad Robot, the film and TV production company. Did I say it was about Video Games Chronicle? Yeah. All right. Bad Robot Games is a video game division of Bad Robot, the film and TV production company owned by J.J. Abrams, which previously co-produced such films as Star Wars Episodes 7 and 9, the Star Trek reboot trilogy, and the Cloverfield trilogy. Oh, the camera's moving too much. Let's see. The studio is currently working on an unannounced four-player co-op shooter, which will be directed by Mike Booth. Booth is Bad Robot Games' chief creative officer, but is best known as the creator of and lead designer for Left 4 Dead and its sequel. According to the announcement, the game is currently in development for PlayStation 5 and PC. You can play it there, you can play it here, with more information set to be revealed at a later date. So, hey Dub, not much information here, but we know Left 4 Dead behind a co-op shooter, four-player co-op shooter. Where's your excitement level for a co-op shooter coming to PlayStation?
Just for that specifically on paper, not particularly in any direction. However, hey, it might be something that I play with the homie East Single and the other homies that we play with. Get some Grimes in the mix, maybe even some AMC. I don't know, but you know, it's not necessarily that has captured my imagination. I'm just incredibly anxious to see what J.J. Abrams' oversight will look like on a video game. Like, in some way, he's seeing something and signing off on it, or maybe he's appointed somebody. But it'll just be interesting to see what that creative body that is Bad Robot will eventually produce. Obviously, they got some solid talent working on it. Left 4 Dead is a storied franchise. I believe they got what, two? Did they get two or three games? I don't remember.
No,
But yeah, I never played it, but I've heard a lot about it. I've seen it. I've heard the praise. I understand that it's just one of those franchises that, if you're gonna have a discussion about the greatest games of all time, eventually the discussion is going to lead there in one way or another. But yeah, I just want to see what is going to come out of Bad Robot, what it's going to look like, what kind of quality is going to be there. Signs point to at least good to great based on the talent that they got. And yeah, hopefully they just understand the process of what it is to make a game like this and give it the time as well as the resources that are necessary to make it the best that can be. I was online looking at this discussion and I saw a remark where somebody was like, oh, here goes Sony buying up, or what is it, putting money behind random studios again. Yeah.
Moneyhattan.
And I'm like, well, this is more of the classic Sony approach where they are partnering with a Bad Robot in order to work on something that I'm guessing will probably be exclusive. And that's the Sony that we want to see. We don't want to see Sony laying out hundreds of millions, billions of dollars for, franchises and studios that they have no, like, close working relationship with, like a Housemarque, like a Gorilla, like a Sucker Punch, like an Insomniac, where there's just a history of producing quality content for the platform. And then eventually you have that marriage and you get together and it becomes just first party through and through. So, this seems to be back into the more true form of Sony rather than, the brief live service attempt period. So this is a good sign in my opinion, and I'm just really excited to see what this product is going to look like. AMC, how about yourself?
Yeah, I'm interested in, first of all, I'm always interested in a co-op game. And we've seen with maybe this is them seeing like, oh, Helldivers doing well. Like people want to they want to play together, but maybe our approach to live service isn't necessarily the approach that is in line with us. Like we could still do games that are within our philosophy, but have a multiplayer approach to them that are appealing to our fan base. And so maybe this is them trying to right that ship. And I mean, as of late, you have to admit co-op shooters have been doing well. They didn't mention if this was first person or third person, but you see certain things like not necessarily a co-op game, but people working together in Ark Survival. What was it? Ark Survivors.
Our graders.
Ark Raiders, yeah, Ark Raiders, and then I'd mentioned Helldivers. You go back, Destiny, and like PvE in general, and so there's always appeal for that when done right. I mean, there are a bad version of this with this is a PlayStation, but it was a Redfall, so you can miss, but at least it seems to be this is helmed by Left 4 Dead, and you said so. There's some credibility at least behind the lead of this operation. And then you got Bad Robot, maybe they care about their stuff, so they're not just throwing out games. Like they actually want their first game to be successful. So it's twofold. It's not just Sony, but it's also Bad Robot. And so you have two companies that want to see something successful and not necessarily just chasing a cash grab. So I'm interested from that standpoint because I love myself some co-op and I love myself a shooter. The Division, that was also awesome. So
Oh, God.
there are a lot of great examples of co-op shooters done right, and so this just doesn't give us much information. The only other thing I would say too is maybe with it being Bad Robot, there's a an emphasis, and once again, the alignment philosophically, there's an emphasis on good storytelling alongside the co-op shooting nature of the game. And so maybe that's something that will lend to this game. It won't just be something where you go in and you're just shooting it up with the homies. Like, there might be an actual interesting story alongside of it, or an interesting universe to play with. And so there's some interesting things here, but until we see at least that first gameplay session, that first trailer, we can't really assume anything. But yeah, I'm interested. But let's take a break, A-Dub, and we'll come back with some quick hits before we close it out.
I tell you what, AMC, they
Yes.
come out with a high quality, like good looking Cloverfield co-op shooter. Oh, I'm there.
Yes. All right, we're back, A-Dub. You want to break us off with your quick hit?
Wesley and Poole over at IGN reporting. This one, it's been kind of ongoing as there have been updates and developments over the days. Jeff Keighley reportedly teasing, well, it's two stories. Initially, Jeff Keighley posted this image with three words. It says regal, inspiring, thickness. So, people found out that this is it's a code that goes into this website where the entire world is basically divided up by three-word phrases, and those specific words go to the spot in the Mojave Desert where there's this statue that it looks like a doorway. It's built out of like skeletons and animals and creatures, and there's a big opening, there's stairways at the front, and there's like these tentacles that are coming out of it. People don't know what it's for, and there have been a lot of ideas, including the next God of War, the next Elder Scrolls, and the Diablo 4 expansion. However, people such as, Jason Schreier and others who seem to have more information than the rest of us have confirmed that the statue has nothing to do with any of those games. So we now have this lingering mystery as we approach the Game Awards this in the next few days about what this statue is related to. And if we're gonna like So AMC, have you by any chance seen this yet, or
No, let me look this
did you want to
up.
look it up?
Let me look it up real quick. Jeff
Just look
Keighley.
up like a Jeff Keighley statue, or yeah, something like that. And yeah, you'll know it when you see it. But
What
it's exactly.
the fuck?
So
Tell
this,
statue is really only hyping one thing. Oh, interesting. Okay.
yeah, so. There's ideas, but overall, people don't know. Your boy Dove has his ideas. But yeah, I mean, this is the kind of marketing I miss. This is the kind of stuff that we used to see with games. And it's the kind of thing that makes you think Sony's involved. They tend to do very demonstrative, very like, art meets life kind of installations. If people remember when they had the State of Play for The Last of Us 2, when they had, people in the auditorium, like people in the place that was designed to look like a location in the game, and Ghost of Tsushima, when they had the live flute player, one of only two in the world, or probably the only guy in the world who could play the flute. So, that says a little something to me. People have been trying to say Sorrows. Personally, I don't think the design of the statue really fits that. While it's a similar aesthetic, they've got like big cats and bears, and I thought I saw a Tyrannosaurus in there. So, initially I'm thinking something maybe like a Dragon's Dogma 2, but then it hit me, AMC. I had the epiphany. What if this is related to the announcement of the next major FromSoft game? No, I'm not talking about Dust Bloods, and we must remember that FromSoft has multiple teams within. No, I think it's about time that they're going to pull the lid off of the new IP that they've been working on all this time, that people have stopped talking about for a good while. I think we see it. I think Jeff snagged it. What do you think, my good man?
Man, I have no idea what this is. I my first thought went to Elder Scrolls, and then I see articles saying it's not Elder Scrolls. It could be anything, but I do like the concept at least. I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of when it eventually gets announced, there's gonna be a lot of people like, ugh, this wasn't worth like the anticipation. But regardless, it's gonna get people to tune in and discuss, and that's really all we can ask for, especially for people who show up every week and need something to discuss. We need content. Jeff is churning out content and discussion topics, and this is interesting. It's gaming related, so it'll put this game in our minds regardless. So I totally don't have it. Like we discussed last week, when we were doing the nominations for the Game Awards, and I think we got to the trolls, and people were saying like, it's just marketing. It's like, it's puts games in your head, which is everything. We watch an indie showcase, put a bunch of games in our head, and with this one, we're gonna remember this statue because it is pretty distinct. Like I'm not gonna forget this now that you had me look at this, and I want to see what the eye is. There's so many demonic options that you could go with, so it's really hard to put your thumb on anything, and I'm having it. I'm excited. I'm already pumped for the Game Awards. I always enjoy them. There's always something worthy of discussion. There's always some randomness that could happen, and this is good type of marketing. Like as long as it doesn't end up being like this is marketing for fucking some like product, then people will be okay with it. So
The
I
door opens up and it's like a gaming chair.
Yeah, gaming chair, some bullshit, a floss device. So yeah, it is
Floss.
what it is.
Fucking Oral-B Satan 666. Pulsates at 666 Hz to really get that tartar out.
But yeah, I got nothing else. Anything else they done with that quick hit?
Not with that quick hit, Michael, man. Next one's in your territory.
Let's see. We got an update from Insider Gaming. This being for CD Projekt Red. So CD Projekt Red confirms that The Witcher 4. Actually, this is an update to the Game Awards because we were discussing the most anticipated, and we had a little bit of a discussion about The Witcher 4 and whether or not we thought it was coming out in 2026. So CD Projekt Red confirms The Witcher 4 not releasing in 2026. So sticking to new trilogy. To a 6-year plan with their new trilogy. So I'm going to read all this. So they had a Q3 earnings call for CD Projekt Red, revealed a ton of fun details. One of the most eye-catching statements mentioned The Witcher 4, letting us know it's not releasing in 2026, but giving us a full launch window for the three new Witcher games. We're not, so this is CD Projekt Red discussing, we're not disclosing any details regarding the target release date. So there's not a point in time I could refer to when answering such a question. The only thing we're commenting is that we're not launching in 2026, and we're also not typically getting into any specifics regarding technical, whatever. You're not talking about shit. Pushing forward as far as the release of the other games. So, responding to a question, in a way, yes, I do believe that further games should be delivered in a shorter period of time. I guess this discussing, because they got into switching over to Unreal Engine, and now that they have that going and work in order, like it should get their cadence in a good place. And so, in a way, yes, I do believe that further games should be delivered in a shorter period of time. As we had stated before, our plan is to launch the whole trilogy within a 6-year period. So yes, that would mean we would plan to have a shorter development time between The Witcher 4, Witcher 5, and The Witcher 6. So about a 3-year cycle between each game. A-dub. What do you think? Do you think CD Projekt Red will be able to keep up with their cadence of re releasing a new Witcher game every 3 years while also working on, was it Cyberpunk 2 and whatever else they have going on the side?
I think they need to learn the most valuable lesson from Cyberpunk, which is to just show the results. Because when Cyberpunk was becoming a thing, there was a lot of talk. There was a lot of statements. There was a lot of like grandstanding on other developers and things like that, only for Cyberpunk to launch the way that it did and take as long as it did to get into the actual shape it deserved to be in. So let's just pump the brakes. I understand ambition, but we got to figure out where ambition meets reality. And let's get Witcher 4 out first and see what's going on with development for Witcher 5. Like, hopefully you guys can do it and put out one 3 years after the other, 3 years after that. But things happen, and we've seen it all too regularly in the gaming industry. Something always happens. You never know who's going to make a decision. You never know who's going to buy who, which is why this acquisition is important. I mean, hey, what if this acquisition puts them in a position where, they got to take a little more time to figure some things out. So, I know Witcher deals with Warner Brothers in some way or fashion. I don't know, man. I would prefer if CD Projekt Red just let their work speak for themselves, let their work ethic speak for themselves, or their timing or their pace, because just stop. I respect your creativity. I respect everything that you brought to the market. I'm a supporter. I will be there day one. Just stop talking.
Take a note from
How
Sean
about you?
Murray.
Yeah.
Just work on your games. And when you have stuff to discuss, you talk out there. But the problem also is that this is an investor call, so they gotta be
Oh,
like,
well, they have to say something,
yeah, we got all this content coming. You're gonna get a return on all your investments. And the gamers are like, yeah, we shall see, because all that return is dependent on how many copies we buy. So you better make sure that shit is up to par.
if they have anything close to what happened with Cyberpunk for this next Witcher, oh, they will never hear the end of it this time. I mean, they'll probably make all the money back like they did the last time. They'll never hear the end of it. Oh, man.
Yeah. Do you have any other quick hits, Ada, before we get out of here?
Nah, man, I think that's about it. The Hollow Knight Silk Song, the Team Cherry, they confirmed that they're working on DLC, but they don't know when it'll come out. So take that for whatever it's worth. Silk Song was supposed to be DLC. It ended up taking like 7 years to make. So, see how that's going. Alan Wake developer Remedy have trademarked Control Resonant ahead of the Game Awards, and people are thinking that means that we'll finally get to see what's happening, what's going on with the sequel. So, they confirm that it's going to be an action RPG. Maybe it's a little too early to see it, but I really don't care because I love the Control universe. I know what I'm looking at. So no matter what they show me or what shape, I mean, hopefully it's not just like a title thing. That would suck. But I would definitely like to see whatever they're working on in action. That would be really cool. And let me see. Yeah, that's about it. So hit you with the quick ones.
All right, well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
This is Ada. We are Control Issues. Thanks for playing. Sucker. Control!